Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. Whether you're tuning in locally here on the East Coast, good morning if it's the West Coast, or if you're in Europe and it's evening time already, welcome wherever you tune in from. Thank you for joining us today. We've got a wonderful show in store for you. And please don't forget, if you are enjoying our shows, please share them with your friends, share them on social media. Let's get the word out there so that we can bring our messages to more and more people around the world. So before I bring on my amazing guest, first we have our blog post from a couple of weeks ago. And this one is entitled, "The Unexpected Moments of Life Can Be the Most Beautiful." The unexpected is not often welcome. When something happens we aren't prepared for, we have a hard time. We like to know what's going on. That certainty gives us a sense of control. Yet the desire for control often comes at a cost. The cost is a loss of spontaneity, which is a shame, for the sense of control is an illusion itself. Yet when we open up to the mysteries of life, we find something special in the unexpected. For when we allow ourselves to embrace the unknown when it comes to us, we can find true treasures. Not just the treasure of opportunity, the treasure of unexpected relationships, of adventures beyond our imagination, and the surprise of beauty and grace. For when we go walking down a trail we have never walked before, it can bring us to amazing vistas, to a hidden waterfall or a lake, or some other spectacular piece of nature. Perhaps we just travel to work on a different route, and because of that, we stumble upon a store or a restaurant we never even knew existed. Yet when we are presented with a difficulty that causes us to have to do something different than we expected, we grumble and complain about it, instead of embracing the change as a new adventure in life. Not knowing what is to come can be frightening to many of us. When we can be curious instead of afraid, we are more able to receive the gift of the unexpected. We open up to new possibilities, and we can be rewarded for our openness with new riches, physical riches, emotional riches, and even spiritual riches. Flexibility, adaptability, and being open to what may come can be our greatest asset if we allow them to guide us through those unexpected moments. Of course, not all unexpected moments are pleasant. Yet even in the unpleasant ones, there are gifts to be had. It is up to us to look for those gifts and find them where they may be. Not in the expected parts of life, in the unexpected, unknown, and undiscovered parts of life. The unexpected moments of life can be the most beautiful if we allow our eyes to see them that way. So where in your own life can you be more open to the unexpected? Where are there gifts in the unexpected parts of your life? So I wrote this a couple of years ago, and I don't quite remember exactly what was the impetus behind this blog post, but what it does bring up to me, like around that time of year, is I remember a year into the pandemic, and my wife and I wanted to get away, as we usually try and do around Christmas time. You know, we close the station for the last 2 weeks of the year, and my wife closes her therapy business, and we typically travel. And so we were looking around to see, like, we wanted to go to someplace warm, a nice Caribbean island, and we were looking for something where there was very low COVID rates that was really kind of out of the way, so that, you know, there wouldn't be, you know, hopefully, you know, wouldn't be that much. And we decided to go to this small island off of Antigua called Montserrat. And I'd heard of the island, but I'd never been there. And so we went, and we didn't really know what we were getting ourselves in for. I mean, it was advertised as kind of the old world Caribbean. It sounded very nice. It looked very beautiful. But when we got there, lots of things weren't open. There was not a lot happening just in terms of, like, trying to get to a supermarket. And of course, it was Christmas time. So over Christmas, lots of things were closed. We were walking around the property, and then we found out just shortly before we left that we had to quarantine for like 5 days. That it didn't say anything about it. I mean, I think we had gotten our vaccines by that time, like everything was cool, but you know, we still had to quarantine for 5 days. And the place where we quarantined, it was nice, but it wasn't like super nice. You know, it was rustic, as they say. And then I was just walking around the property because we weren't allowed to go off the property. And I got all these bug bites, and I got these things. I never even heard of it before, known as chiggers. It was very uncomfortable, but eventually got over it. And then we were out of quarantine, and we moved to another place to stay on the island that was nicer. And we just kind of wandered around, you know, found a hiking trail and walked around a mountain, and, you know, just kind of went around, and the capital, Hamilton, had been destroyed in a volcano explosion years before, like 10, 15 years before or something. I forget exactly. And there was a lot of beauty on the island, but there were a lot of challenges. But it was all unexpected because we just didn't know what we were getting ourselves in for. And, you know, while we learned a lot from that trip, we learned that more adventuresome trips are not what we look for at this stage in life, that we do appreciate having a little bit more comfort. But still, it's like, I mean, I can look back on it and look at all the challenges. And one night, like all the gnats just came out of nowhere and they were just everywhere all over the apartment. And it was just very unpleasant. But and they were gone in like a day. It was like the next day they were all dead. But it's easy to go look back on that trip and just remember all the challenges and the difficult times and the unexpected things that happened. Or I could look back on that trip and just think about the beauty, the nature, the adventure of it. Yeah, it was really something. And so I think maybe part of this blog is really about like being open to just the unexpected, that we just never know. And yeah, sometimes it doesn't go the way we want. But if everything went the way we wanted, life would be actually pretty boring. And so when we allow ourselves to be open to sort of the magic of life, to the unexpected, that there's so much we can gain from it, so much we can gain from it. And I have to say, like, the one thing I will always remember about Montserrat is the people. Like, with all the trauma and all, with the volcano and all the things they'd been through, they were still like heart-centered, happy people, you know, simple people, just, you know, enjoying life in the most basic ways. And, you know, that was truly something to appreciate. So, I mean, that's my blog. The unexpected moments of life can be the most beautiful. You can find that, of course, at my blog, which you can find at talkradio.nyc/blog. And, you know, I would love to hear your comments about my blog posts. Like, do they resonate with you? Do you get something from them? Would you like to, you know, see me touch upon specific topics in future blog posts? All of that would be wonderful. And you can always get in touch with me at Sam@theconsciousconsultant. All right. So now it is my extreme pleasure to welcome to the show speaker, podcast, fellow podcaster, award-winning author, coach, and Reverend Lesia Kahoot. As the soul excavator, Lesia helps empower young adult professionals to live their extraordinary and true life's purpose through connection with and mindful use of the indwelling universal power within all of us. Using a variety of techniques, including mindset shifting, visioning, meditation, EFT, and spiritual mind treatment, she endeavors to inspire her audience to dig deep, let go of limiting beliefs, and embrace the infinite potential that we all are. Reverend Lesia holds a bachelor degree in advanced consciousness studies and is a religious science practitioner and integrative nutrition health coach. She's an accredited minister of New Thought, empowering the conscious awakening of humanity while cultivating a global community founded in love. Reverend Lesia's ongoing journey of spiritual exploration, personal growth, and expansion of consciousness is the foundation of her first book, Soul Excavation, an exploration and discovery of self through fear, failure, and quantum physics, which won the 2023 Canadian Book Club Awards in spirituality and health and wellness category. Through Soul Excavation, Reverend Lesia has helped hundreds to let go of limiting thoughts, stories, and beliefs that have kept them feeling stuck, freeing them to live the life they want and are meant to live. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour.
Thank you for having me, Sam. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you. It's wonderful to have you. We connected last year through a dear friend, Christine Monahan. And I'm glad we finally got you on the books.
Yeah, no, it's great to be here. Thank you. And I really enjoyed listening to your blog post. I wrote several notes down and I feel like we could just talk about your blog post for the rest of the time, not even about me, because there's so much similarity in what you wrote about and the work that I do. So,
well, you know, it's really quite funny because these blog posts, you know, I'm just taking them in order, starting from like a random point a couple of years ago, and they're always just so apropos for whoever my guest happens to be that day. So that's great. So I just, I gotta ask, you've got a bachelor's degree in advanced consciousness studies. You're a minister for the New Thought religious science movement. Like, were you raised in a very spiritual household? Like, how did you get into all this stuff? Cause this is not like your typical, background.
Yeah. So, you know, it's the question or the answer there is yes. And because I actually grew up Ukrainian Catholic. And so I'm Ukrainian, and part of being Ukrainian really for most of my upbringing and my adult life was you believe in God. That's part of being Ukrainian. And so my parents, my grandparents, and as far back as I know, were Ukrainian Catholic. And so we didn't go to Sunday school per se, went enough to sort of go and do communion when we were 7 years old, my sister and I, but we learned more about religion and our faith through our family, through attending church every Sunday. And then also through Ukrainian school, because from the time that I was in grade 7 up until grade 11, I think it was, then every Saturday, in addition to going to school during the week, we went to Ukrainian school, and through Ukrainian school and then Ukrainian scouts plus, we also learned about religion and ritual and our faith. So yeah, there was religion, but for me, spirituality is different. And even though there was a lot of tradition and ritual and faith involved, spirituality, I believe, can be more open and expansive, and sort of kind of like when you were talking about in your blog post and even in the song that we heard before about everything being connected and the space and the particles, that there's a spaciousness in spirituality. Because it's more, not so much about dogma, but, you know, doctrine, if you want to say, but just beliefs and faith and ideas, and that different people experience spirituality in different ways. Yeah. Whereas religion can be very, you know, this is what we believe. This is how we practice.
Right. Yeah. I've heard many people say something that like spirituality is inclusive. And religion can be a bit exclusive. It's like, this is the one thing and that's it. Whereas spirituality kind of allows everything to be a part of it in some ways.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think that we don't need to discount religion, because there's a lot of great stuff about religion. Mm-hmm. Community, for one thing. And for some people, having something organized with ritual, with tradition, with maybe, you know, some kind of scripture or some kind of text to go from is incredibly helpful and can be very grounding. But sort of like what you just said about, you know, this is what we think, and this is the only way, then I think that's where religion can get a bad rap.
Right. Okay. Let's take our first break. When we come back, I'd love to know, like, you know, how you decided to go for a bachelor's degree in advanced consciousness studies, because that's a new one on me. And then sort of what was your path like? What kind of brought you from there to becoming a reverend and coming out with your book? Okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
Wonderful. Oh, and by the way, that intro music that we play at the beginning of our live block of shows, it's called Symphony of Science, and it's actually clips from a bunch of interviews of famous physicists.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. So if you listen closely, there's Carl Sagan, there's Richard Feynman, a bunch of famous people. Anyway, so everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over the social media platforms. And we will be right back with our guest, Reverend Lesia Cahoot, in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. So, Leslie, so how did you decide to get a bachelor's degree in advanced consciousness studies?
Well, you know what? It wasn't so much that I decided to, that I was sort of called onto that path. And so the way that I got there really sort of, you know, is from a few years before. When my husband, daughter, and I, we were in Toronto still. That's where my husband and I spent over 30 years of our adult lives. And we were already on our way to move across the country to Victoria on Vancouver Island. And one day my husband said, hey, you know what I want to do next Sunday? Let's check out the Center for Spiritual Living. And I thought, okay, sure, let's. I had been there before a couple of years ago. It wasn't quite for me at the time. But then when he said, let's go, I thought, yeah, let's go. And that time when we walked in, from like the people at the door who greeted us with hugs and smiles to the opening meditation, the 5-minute talk, then the main talk, just the live music, the band, the vibe, the energy, everything. But specifically the message, which that was my real introduction to the Science of Mind philosophy. That blew my mind wide open, because the biggest thing that I learned that day was that I create my life. That no one else creates it for me, no thing, no entity, there's no separate force outside of me. And it was something really fascinating and very new for me to learn, to entertain, having grown up Ukrainian Catholic. And so I just dove right in. And within a couple of weeks, I was asking the minister at the time what classes were about, and then found out that you could become a licensed spiritual practitioner. And then during my very first class, foundational class, I experienced the call to ministry, which came as a huge surprise. But I just felt it in my entire body. This just like every single cell, every atom, everything was like, this is why I'm here. This is what is happening. This is what I need to lean into. And part of that path unfolded in very different ways than what I had expected. And one of those things was, instead of moving into ministerial studies after spiritual practitioner studies, my teacher decided to not teach ministerial and to do the very first advanced consciousness studies class affiliated with the Emerson Theological Institute in California. And so I was invited into the class and kind of went in there begrudgingly and kicking and screaming and like, this is what I want to do. This is what I, you know, not what I signed up for. But about two thirds of the way through, then realized this is so much better and so much more than what I feel like I would have gotten had I gone down the path that I was expecting, right? Like what you were talking about before in your blog, open up to the unexpected. And and in that class, everyone was at the level that they were at. And so everyone had their own project that they were working on. And based on how many degrees you already had, how immersed you had been in spiritual and consciousness studies or the life, then that's how Emerson decided what degree you would get. So for me, it ended up being a bachelor's because I'd never, that was my very first degree ever. Like I didn't even go into this thinking that I would get any kind of degree. Credentials, yes, but not a degree. And so.
So about how long ago was that?
That was not that long ago, but seems like forever ago. I'm trying to see on my degree on the wall there. It would have been 3 or 4 years ago. And since I've gotten a master's, because that was part of my actual ministerial studies, was to get a master's degree as well.
Gotcha.
So, and that's what my book, writing the book, got me the bachelor's degree. And then publishing the book was part of what got me the master's degree.
I see. So it was kind of like your master's thesis in a way, the book?
No, I had to write a thesis for the master's. Okay. But the entire, I worked with a mutual friend of ours, Karen Strauss, Hybrid Global Publishing, to publish my book. And that ended up being an amazing experience. But I had also used several quotes from other authors in my book, and I needed to get permission from them to use their quotes in my book. And that ended up being almost a 6-month part-time job, just trying to get those quotes. And so there was a lot more work that went into the publishing than I had ever anticipated. But with Karen's help and her team's help, and then the work that I did on my own to get all the quotes, that plus a bunch of extra stuff that I had done, Emerson just said, we're going to apply all that towards your master's in along with your thesis.
Gotcha. So, but I'm still trying to be clear on, so what was the real impetus for writing the book? What like got you to say, I want to write a book? Was it getting your master's? I was like, I'm writing all this stuff. I want to do a book, or was it something outside of that?
No, I write about it in the book that for about 12 years, I talked about writing a book. And when I first started talking about writing a book, I was still working in the food industry. So it was going to be a cookbook. Okay. And then it was going to be a cookbook with some stories, and then it would morph into something. And then I kept thinking, well, it's changing, so I'll just wait until it changes into the right and perfect thing. And before you know it, you know, a decade goes by, and I've talked about writing all these books, but haven't written even one. And so when we were given, you know, this information that we all had projects that we had to work on for our degrees in advanced consciousness, Emerson said that all I needed to do was write a paper. And so I said, well, if I'm going to write a paper, could I use my book as this? And they said, yes. And so that was great because there was accountability. There was a deadline and, you know, hand in the book, get my degree, don't hand it in, don't get my degree. So there was, you know, the inspiration of wanting to birth something through the written word and through stories that had changed and morphed, you know, into something different over the course of a decade. And then this specific stuff, which is very much about my spiritual growth and journey from limiting beliefs and lack and trauma and drama to embracing all of that from a different perspective and knowing that it really is all beautiful and perfect. And even though all of that happened, that there is gift in all of it. Kind of like when you were talking about your trip, you know?
So where did the title come from, Soul Excavation?
I started using the term soul excavation many years ago when I was working with clients. And even when I was thinking about what does this work feel like? A lot of people talk about peeling away the layers of the onion. And I talked about that or used that for a long time, but it wasn't enough because to me, it felt like it felt like this was like messy, dirty, you know, sort of drudgery sometimes, that there were different layers of like rock and shale and muck and mud and whatever that we were digging through, that there was something there at the bottom that was always there. So I didn't have to like go somewhere to find it. I didn't have to travel or whatever, like that there was something within me that I was searching for that was always there. And that along the way, it was like this digging, this archaeological dig, this excavation for what I believe ends up being the infinite creativity, resilience, and love that we truly are, that is always there. Like that's who we are inherently. And then there's all these layers of stories and beliefs and experiences and whatever. Some are ours, some are family, society, you know, whatever, that get piled up on top. So in order to get back, you know, to really, really remembering and feeling and experiencing and unleashing that awesomeness that we are, sometimes we got to dig. And so soul excavation, that's what it feels like for me.
Gotcha. Awesome. All right. So I want to dig into that a little bit more, but we got to take another break.
Okay.
So when we come back, maybe we can share with our audience, what are some techniques for excavating our soul and for digging down? Like, how do we get there? And I'm curious also, like, what was that process like for you? Like, what surprised you about doing that work? And how has it changed your life?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sounds okay. Good. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Don't forget, if you'd like to ask your own questions or contribute to the conversation, please post your comments to the live streams. If you post it during the live show, I promise I will get to those comments and I'll ask Lesia, Reverend Lesia, your question. So everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Promo code STAPLE20.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To cope with mental and neurological issues. Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be frank about health with all of you.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back. So, Reverend Lesia, I'm just curious, like when you were going through these studies and when you were learning all about yourself and excavating your own soul, were there any big surprises? Were there any like aha moments that just like, where did that come from?
Well, the answer is definitely yes. I'm trying to think. Okay, so in my very first, I don't even remember if it was in my first class or if it was in a talk that Reverend Jonathan did at the Center for Spiritual Living in Toronto. But the first time that I heard the spiritual principle is not bound by precedent, and have it explained, that blew my mind. And so essentially what it means is when we're talking about principle, that's who we are. That is, and I'm coming from the perspective that there's only one thing going on. So call it energy, call it love, call it spirit, call it source, call it God, whatever it is that works for you, there's that one thing. And that thing is everywhere, that it is all encompassing. It is constantly in flow and evolving in through and as everyone and everything. So principle is not bound by precedent. It means that who we are is who we are no matter what. Precedent is something that happened. So even if something traumatic, horrible, terrible happened in our past, even if we drag it into the present moment by retelling the story of what happened in the past, and we feel the way that we may have felt in the past, or even worse, as we continue to tell and retell the story and get more and more and more sort of amplify the feelings that we felt back then, that who we are at our core can never, ever change because it is wholeness. Period. It's wholeness. It is oneness. It is so powerful. It is so profound. There is nothing that is bigger than that because that's the one thing. And anything that we see that or experience or feel or think that is not in alignment with that wholeness, that doesn't feel like that wholeness, is some people would say an illusion. And for me, I just feel like it's just sort of missing the mark because your perspective, your perception is a little bit off. And so if you just shifted your perception, you would see from a different perspective that even when you feel sad, even when you feel angry, even when there are challenges, even when life feels super, super hard, that still there is that at the very center, at the very core, at the very epicenter of our being, that is always that wholeness, that infinitude, that power, that presence. And we are at choice to shift our focus to that at any moment of any day.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me, I'm actually going through a 90-day challenge with a dear friend of mine, Dr. Maria Nemeth, where we're reading four chapters out of Wallace Waddell's book, yeah, The Science of Getting Rich. And you know, you're supposed to read these four chapters every day for 90 days. And there's a part of one of the chapters where it talks about really the difference between truth, and that truth that we know inside of us may be different from what we see outside of us. Mm-hmm. And that the hardest thing we can do is stay sort of in that place of knowingness, that just because we see tragedy and pain and suffering and dis-ease around us doesn't mean that it has to live within us.
Yeah.
And that when we connect to that deeper place that you're talking about, of that knowingness, that we're beyond all of that, that then we're connecting to truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have done that 90-day challenge. I did it around this time last year because I was doing it as I was going into my last few months of ministerial studies. And there was one day where I went to bed and I was lying in bed and I looked, and I got up out of bed and I went, because the deal is, if you miss a day, you got to go back to the beginning and start again. Right.
Right.
But that is one of my favorite books. I mean, it's so, you know, dated and the language is a little bit old and whatever, but every time I read it, and even during those 90 days, reading those four chapters again and again and again, I picked up on something new every single day. And then there are some favorite lines I have in there too, that just, you know, would come up and just, you know, wham. But yeah, that is such a great challenge to go through.
Yeah. It's my first time going through it. And I didn't start right away. I'm a little over a week into it now. So I'm considering, as opposed to 90 days, it seems like too much. I'm counting more like 13 weeks is the equivalent of 90 days. So I'm like on week two now.
Yeah.
So when do you get into this stuff? When we look at, you know, the new thought movement, spirituality, and all the metaphysical stuff and quantum physics, there are a lot of different perspectives. There are a lot of different teachings under all of this. Have you ever come across sort of two different teachings that seemed contradictory to each other in your studies? Have you come across anything that kind of like one thing says one way, another thing says another way, and it's like, wait a minute, those two things don't really go together?
Oh my gosh, Sam, that is such an interesting question. And even though my sort of initial response would be not yet, and it's just because of what I've been studying, they're actually right now, some of my ministerial classmates who graduated and some who are still in this year, we have a salon on Sunday nights. We meet online on Zoom and we do a book. We go through a book, we read and we discuss. And the book that we are reading right now is Letting Go, The Pathway to Surrender. I think that's what it's called, by David.
Oh, Letting Go. So I have the audio book of that. I haven't listened to it yet.
Okay, so amazing book. And every now and then, as we're all just totally enjoying and appreciating what he is talking about in there, we will come across something and someone will say, how does this relate to science of mind? Blah, blah, blah. Is he saying this? Whatever. And what I find myself doing is, well, on the surface, it may seem that he's saying one thing. But if we look at it from a science of mind perspective, then sort of like the Bible, there are people who, you know, can take, you know, stories at face value, but from a metaphysical perspective, if you look at it this way, or even like the different languages, like one of the books that I'm reading right now too is Revelations of the Aramaic Jesus by Neil Douglas Klotz. And it's so interesting in there to listen to him talk about something like the Beatitudes, and translating word for word what would have been said in Hebrew. But then he says, this is what it was in Aramaic. And just the nuanced difference is, you know, wow, that's like a totally different meaning now, which is so neat.
Yes.
So, I mean, the answer really, truly is yes. Like, to give you an example right now, I don't have one at my fingertips.
No problem.
But what I find is that it's really interesting to remain open to the unexpected and to question everything and to just sort of be in this state of like, I want to learn, but knowing that we all have our lenses and our world views through which we view our world and experience our life. So
absolutely. I'm curious, the subtitle of your book is An Exploration and Discovery of Self Through Fear, Failure, and Quantum Physics. So how can our audience discover more about themselves through fear, failure, and quantum physics? What's something like, if someone is listening to this, like I see Glenn, loyal listener Glenn, saying, great interview. Thanks for your caring energy. Thank you, Glenn, for tuning in. Please keep posting the comments. But someone's listening to this, and maybe they're not as familiar with the science of mind or new thought movement, or maybe they're into spirituality, but they're not necessarily well-versed in some of the stuff. What can someone do to sort of begin that process? How do you start dipping your toe in that water?
So I just noticed the chat. There's a comment from my husband there. Anyway, so the title has very much to do with my personal journey. And the book is not a how-to book. It is a book of stories, three main stories of fear, failure, and a leap of faith, really. But by the time I get to the leap of faith story and the accompanying vignettes, I'm already in my spiritual and consciousness studies. And so I'm already viewing the world from a different, broader perspective. And one of the things that happened during my consciousness studies was that I was shown, taught, invited to open up to the idea that I am not my thoughts, that I am not my beliefs, that I am not my feelings, that I am not anything that I have experienced. And when pulling away from that and sort of becoming an observer and someone curious about, oh, this is just what's going on, this isn't who and what I truly am, that for me opened up space to start to do things differently, to see things differently, to experience things differently. And then as I continued on my path, when I was in advanced consciousness studies, this book took a shift. I mean, there was a way that I was going to write it, but because of the 1-year program that I was in, and then specifically when we read Paul Levy's The Quantum Revelation, where everybody's minds were completely blown wide open in that class.
Paul Levy is great.
Like everybody's projects, you know, took a slightly different turn. Then quantum physics, my introduction to quantum physics, just really opened up me even more to experiencing and viewing the world in terms of not just yes and, but there's this thing of four-valued logic where, you know, it can be true, it can be false, it can be true and false, it can be neither, because infinite possibilities, right? And this idea that I really do create my reality, you know, according to what I focus on, what I observe, you know, out of those infinite waves of potentiality and what I observe, what I pay attention to, whether I realize it or not, becomes my life experience. So it's really important for me to know what I'm focusing on.
And the decisions we make because of what we're focusing on. You know, that's the thing that to me really grounded this whole idea that we create our life. Because if we look at our life is sort of the sum result of the decisions, all these tiny little decisions that we made along the way that we never really realized would have such a big impact. Like, I know I look at my life and one decision, one little, maybe not so little, but one decision I made back in high school, which was just which college was I going to go to? I know because of the decision I made, it made my life make a certain turn that I could not have thought of, would have imagined, you know, the turn that it would have made. Not always easy, not always comfortable, not always pleasant, but just so beyond, you know, what I could have imagined, that if I had made a different choice, my life would be completely different. I don't know it would be any better, any worse, or maybe not better or worse, maybe just different, but that one choice. So like that to me helps to ground this idea that, you know, what we focus on influences the choices we make, which influences the life we create.
What you are talking about reminds me so much of one of my favorite books that I read last year called The Midnight Library by Matt Haig. Where it's about a woman named Nora Seed, who at the very beginning of the book is just done with life, like disappointed, depressed, whatever, so many things going wrong, and so tries to commit suicide. And in this sort of liminal space, discovers this place called the Midnight Library that is filled with books that are about a choice she can make where her life would take a different trajectory. And so she gets to try on. She opens all of these books to see what would life have been like had I made that choice, had I made that choice, had I made that choice. And I'm not going to talk about what happens, you know, in the end, but it really speaks to how powerful we are and how it's so important to be aware of the choices that we make. And that it's not as important to go back and like, you know, this happened because, but to know this is where I am now. And so this is what I'm choosing in this moment. And that if something, you know, based on that choice isn't working out the way we want, fine, that's okay. Make another choice.
Nice. You know? Right. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. It's time for us to take our last break of the show. When we come back, I'd love to kind of just talk about where are things today for you? Like, what has all this led to? Like, where you are now? And also, we should talk a little bit, at least, at how you work with people and if people want to get in touch with you, how to do all that good stuff. And maybe we'd leave our audience with some little exercise tidbit, something to support them in their life.
Okay, sure.
Awesome. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We've been speaking this hour with our guest, Reverend Lesia Cahoot, and we'll be right back to wrap it all up in just a moment.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Brancu, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So, Lesia, when did the book come out? Came out in 2023?
November 8th, my dad's birthday. It's dedicated to him. November 8th, 2022.
Cool. So I'm just curious, since the book came out, what kind of reactions have you gotten to it?
Well, I think the super coolest response, which is why I published rather than just submitting it as a paper for my degree, is that when people read the stories, whether they are 18, whether they're in their 80s, male, female, different walks of life, growing up in North America or elsewhere, so many people can relate to the limiting beliefs of I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I don't have what it takes, and no one wants to hear what you have to say. That so many people can relate to that there are these universal themes that people are navigating, sometimes without even knowing it, that are impacting every single choice they make, you know, as they create their life experience. So that's been I can just feel it in my heart right now. It's been very humbling and very, I don't even know what the word is, but it makes me feel that much more connected, you know, and just to sort of realize that we are all so interconnected and divinely intertwined, which is a word that a whole chapter in there. So that's probably been, you know, the most beautiful and precious thing that has happened. There's a little bit of, you know, credibility that's been gained, you know, by being a published author. It got me the opportunity to write for a second book, which you were also a part of, the Good to Greatness project through Christine Monahan. So lots of things. I haven't leveraged it as much as I could and I plan to, but the fact that it also won a National Book Award, I'm very grateful for.
And how do you, so what are you doing today? And like, if how do you work with people? Do you work with people?
Well, you know, I mean, the answer is yes. However, right now I'm spending most of my time working as the spiritual director of the Victoria Truth Center here on Vancouver Island, which is a role I stepped into October 1st. And it is such an extraordinary opportunity.
And what is the Victoria Truth Center?
The Victoria Truth Center is it's a new thought, an independent new thought center. The community itself has been around for over 100 years.
Wow.
And it has been without a leader for, I think, over a decade, if not longer. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a board-led community. And it got to the stage where they sort of said, either we do things differently, or maybe we don't do them at all. Mm-hmm. And so they were looking for leadership. And so I was hired along with my co-lead, who is the brand steward. And so I'm in charge of the spiritual, the consciousness, you know, stuff. And then she's in charge of the marketing and promotion and how we're visible and show up in the world so that people can relate. And so we've been tasked with ushering in new, more dynamic, engaging, relevant experiences of spirituality and community connection and building. And so we have a Sunday gathering, we have a Wednesday evening gathering, there's an event, the fourth week of the month is becoming a really neat week for one-off, cool, interesting event. And so we're building community. That's what we're doing.
Wonderful.
And people are coming and people are helping to build the community, which is great.
Wonderful. So if people are in the Victoria Island, the greater Vancouver area, where would they go to learn more about it?
So not in Greater Vancouver, because Vancouver's on the main part of Canada. So we're on Vancouver Island. Mm-hmm. So if they wanted to check us out online or in person, then you can go to Victoria Truth Center. That's centerre.org, because we're in Canada. centerre. And we do have a Facebook page, the Victoria Truth Center. And most of our talks, Wednesday evening, Elevate events that have a live jazz trio there, they get streamed. I stream them to my Facebook page and then they migrate over to the Victoria Truth Center Facebook page. And so, yeah, so going there, you know, onto the website, there is a page where you can find out more about us. And we're growing, we're building, and we're just, you know, evolving into whatever it is that this community wants to be. And then on the side, I do work as a spiritual counselor and a soul excavator, and that people could go to my website, which is really just a landing page right now, lasiakahoot.com, and they can get to me through there.
And that's lasiakahoot.com.
Correct. Thank you.
Yes. Wonderful. All right. We just got a couple of minutes left. I'm wondering if you have a process, an idea, something to give our audience to kind of help them as they're bouncing around in this very crazy, constantly changing world that we live in. You know, it sometimes can feel a bit heavy. And I know a lot of people have a hard time having hope for the future. And I'm just wondering if there's something we can give our audience to support them in just being able to move through their life with a little more grace.
Yeah. So seeing how much time we have left, I think probably the most important thing that I could offer right now is to be able to literally move from the limbic part of the brain into the middle prefrontal cortex. So you're moving out of anxiety and overwhelm and fear and anger and sadness into calm and being present. And one of the best ways to do that is to either focus your attention on your breath or to bring your attention to one part of your body. So either start to, you know, touch something and really just tune into all the sensations that you're experiencing through touch, or listen. And a great way to do it is listen to the sound that is furthest away from you, like stretch your ear, you know, with your eyes closed to hear what is it you're tuning into, and then shift to what is it that is the closest, you know, sound to me. Sometimes it's our breath. Sometimes it's the ringing in our ears, if there is some, and just doing something to get back into the body, because that brings us into the present moment. And when we're in the present moment, we cannot be anxious or fearful or feel overwhelmed or any of that kind of stuff, because we're using a different part of the brain. And then that opens us up more to experiencing the unexpected, like you talked about in your blog post.
Well, Lesia, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today. I could speak with you for hours and have wonderful conversations. If you ever come out with another book, let me know. We'll have you back on to talk about that. So the name of your book is Soul Excavation, an exploration and discovery of self through fear, failure, and quantum physics. It's available on Amazon and other booksellers, I'm assuming.
Yeah, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and then in a few independent bookstores here.
Wonderful. And if anyone wants to, again, get a hold of Lesia, her website is lesiakohut.com. Lesia, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to come on my show today. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Sam. It was such a joy. Thank you.
Wonderful. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in every week. Without you, there is no show. I truly appreciate it. Please feel free to share the video, share the live stream. If you're listening on the podcast, share the podcast. And don't forget, if you did miss any part of today's show, you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc and all over all the podcasting platforms and all the social media platforms. Thank you all for tuning in. We will speak to you all next week.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health. And each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be frank about health with all of you.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.